Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Four Elements again. Hope that you guys had a great week. This is Wind.
This is your boy Earth.
And we expect nice. Perfect comment. And tonight we're going to talk about enjoying life. So we're gonna. This is just simply an extension of what we discussed last week about having a happy life and an extension of the law of attraction. And so tonight, I just want to start off with, you know, I was just thinking earlier this morning about this topic, and, you know, I was just laying across the bed with my windows open, just enjoying the breeze coming through my window, and I was thinking that that life has become so complex and so intricate for us these days that we've forgotten to really enjoy the simple things. And so, you know, again, I was really just relaxing and having peace of mind and enjoying the breeze and listening to the birds talk to each other. And, you know, it really was a nice, peaceful setting. And, you know, really remember, you know, being younger, going out to the parks and enjoying cookouts and basement parties and listening to music and breakdancing on cardboard, going to the YMCA, just really enjoying the really simple things. So I just want to talk a little bit about that, and I like to bring in the elements to discuss some of the things that they enjoyed as a kid or still enjoy.
Yeah, this is Earth. There are a lot of things that I enjoy as a kid and I still enjoy. I like toys, so you know I buy myself, you know, quite a few toys. Of course, you know, being an adult, you know, my toys are a little more expensive than they were when I was a kid. But you know that, you know, when I have, you know, my little toys and things to kind of play around with, it takes my mind away from, you know, work and other things.
I have a real dirty mind, and I think you need to clarify what you mean by toys and adult toys.
So I can assure you that one of my toys is not a blow up doll. I can assure you of that. So my toys are, you know, I think I mentioned on last week's show that you know, I had a drone. So that's the toy that I have. I don't know if I mentioned that last week or not, but yeah, so I bought a drone and, you know, I've been playing with it. Unfortunately, my drone flew the cuckoo's nest and flew away on its own, and I have no clue where it is. Nevertheless, you know, those, like, that's one of the toys I have. I have a lot of other toys also. I enjoy video games. I'm not like a video game fanatic. You know, I don't sit down for days on end playing video games. However, you know, I do enjoy playing them every now and then. You know, I guess you can call a toy a bike. Like, I love cycling. One of my favorite things to do is to cycle, both road cycling and mountain biking. So I enjoy doing both of those. So yeah, that's just some of the things I like, you know, as it relates to toys, and it kind of takes my mind away from the mundane, from the everyday life. And you know, as I mature and as I grow spiritually, it's like you know, I'm becoming interested in different things that, you know, take me away from, you know, the mundane, especially experiencing spiritual growth is phenomenal. But I'll put a little thumbnail right there. We can get to that spiritual growth piece in a minute, but you can go in here for more.
Yeah, I mean, and enjoyment comes to me a lot of different ways, but I'd say probably one of the biggest ones is just kind of like what Wim was describing, is to actually take time to actually really relax and really have a slow time, if you will. Some people that I know, they have a problem actually letting go. They have a problem with actually relaxing. And so for me, that's not really a problem. Like, it's kind of something that I enjoy. It's almost like I enjoy doing nothing. Because for me, that allows me to get recentered and get back to a peaceful space myself. And, you know, it's something that I think derives from my affinity for meditation. I just kind of like to enjoy the simple things in life because I think that gives me a time to actually show gratitude for what I actually have. But also, I do like to get out. I actually enjoy really being outdoors. Whenever I'm outdoors, man, it just really, you know, I feel more alive than I do when I'm kind of cooped up in the house. I should say that I don't feel down when I'm in the house. It's just that I feel really invigorated when I get out. And when I say outdoors, I mean out in nature. So I mean going hiking. You know, I like playing golf because most golf courses are nestled in all kind of trees and woods and things like that. You know, like getting on the water, out in the lake, going tubing, down a hooch or something like that. And, you know, where there's biking on a course, like something like the Silver Comet or something like that. You know, I just enjoy doing those things. So for me, it really is, it's kind of I'd say a slower pace and or nature, natural type thing. And then, you know, one of my hobbies that I really enjoy is playing. So I get a lot of enjoyment out of that as well. It's for me, it's a great way to exercise my brain. And, you know, I do a lot of enjoyment when I'm actually working my brain out. It's the same way that I get enjoyment from working out physically. I get enjoyment from actually working my brain out. And reading, of course, is another one for me. So the list goes on and on and on for me. You know, I have a lot of different things that I actually find enjoyment in. And, you know, I see that we have a few callers that have called in. I know that some of you know this, maybe some of you don't, but I want to invite the callers to also share what you guys actually feel is what you get enjoyment out of. And to do that, you just press 1. We'll see you come in the queue, and then we'll just bring you live, and you can share with us or ask a question if you like to all the elements, and we'll build that for you.
Yeah, the reason why I wanted to bring up this topic is because, you know, I see so many of us, you know, wrapped up in our work lives and so many of us wrapped up in the hustle and bustle of life, you know, always fighting to get somewhere or always striving to achieve certain status or a certain goal or accomplishment. Or I see us trying to force a perception or appearance that we're something that we're not necessarily are. You know, entertaining and going to parties and, you know, dressing up, you know, all fancy and, you know, all that's, you know, great. I mean, if that's really you. But a lot of people I see that's really forcing those issues, and all of us are striving to be like some superstar, some rap star, some entertainer, or some sports celebrity. And it's a rat race. And it, from that striving, actually, you know, a lot of times comes angst. And I think that we've really lost ourselves and really lost what it is to enjoy life and appreciate life, the small things. Again, that's the reason why I wanted to bring this up. I think that we've lost the appreciation of, you know, fresh air and fresh water. You know, I think that we've lost the appreciation of the seasons and trees and grass and just enjoying the sun, enjoying each other's company and, you know, talking to each other on substantive issues. I mean, a lot of our relationships are very surface and very shallow, and divorce rates are up. And I think it's a function of the rat race that we find ourselves in. What you guys think about that?
Yeah, this is Earth. I agree with, you know, getting caught up in the rat race. And when you're caught up in the rat race, oh, for example, when I'm caught up in the rat race, half the time I don't know if I'm coming or going at all. And even though I think I know whether I'm coming or going, when I think about it, I really don't, because I'm just going at 1,000 miles an hour and not really being present to really what I'm dealing with. And when I'm caught up in the rat race, I'm just surviving. I'm surviving from moment to moment to moment to moment, and that's it. And I'm not really living moment to moment to moment to moment. I'm not really enjoying moment to moment to moment, you know, or even in a space where I can seize the moment, you know, when I'm caught up in the rat race. Because my vision is limited, because all I can see is what my perception of what is going on is going on. And that's, you know, being in a rat race. You know, whether it's feeling I have to work or I have to do something. You know, whenever I feel like I have to do something, that's a reminder to me that I'm caught up in the rat race. Because the reality is I don't have to do anything. I can choose to do it or not.
What does that feeling feel like when you feel like you have to do something? Doesn't it feel like a lot of pressure, or a lot of, like you're going against something, like you're going against the grain?
Yeah, it feels like I'm going against nature. Like I'm going against my nature when I feel like I have to do something. Yeah. You know, and a lot of times we put undue pressure on ourselves and put undue pressure on other people because of all these have to. So I'm going to give an example. And some people may think my example is going to be extreme, but I really don't. I think it's just a reality of it, if you get what I'm saying. Like, for example, some people with kids feel like they have to take care of their kids. Well, the reality is you don't. And if you choose to take care of your kids, that's different than have to take care of your kids. Because there's no, like, you're not obligated to do it. But if that's something you choose to do, then you can actually provide for your kids in a different way. You can eliminate some possible frustration. You know, you can eliminate this conversation about, oh, it's hard to raise kids. Kids are expensive. Children are this, whatever that conversation is for you. If you get, like, you don't have to do it. And what I mean by, when I say you don't have to do it, it's not like, well, you know, I'm doing my child a favor by taking care of them, because I don't have to. It's really choosing to do, or choosing to take care of your children, because that's just what you want to do. And I promise you, you'll have a different experience. Those are with children. you have a different experience of your children, and they'll have a different experience of you. And your mate will have a different experience of you. It's just like, you know, people, it's the same thing can apply within a relationship, the same thing can apply, you know, within anything that someone says that you're obligated to and you're responsible for. You don't have to. That's reality. You can walk away at any point. It may not be the most responsible thing to do, but the reality is we're not talking about responsibility in the context of good or bad. We're talking about, you know, you're not obligated to do something. It may not be the most responsible thing to do, but the reality is you're not obligated to do anything, period. So what do y'all think about that?
This is water. And, you know, I agree 100%. 100%. And I'll give people a great example for myself is that to describe that feeling. When I felt like I had to get up and work for money back when I had a job, I could not sleep enough. Like, I would sleep 9 hours and I would wake up exhausted. And it just, I mean, I could sleep 9 hours. And for me, like, I'm the type, some people might say that's too much. You know, like, look, I know me, and if I get 9 hours of sleep now, man, I'm money. I'm able to wake up, and within 10 minutes, I can, you know, I can get really, really, I can be at, like, 90% of what I need to be at. But I just remember how it felt to feel like I had to go into my job and make, you know, like, into earn. That was my way that I earned money. I felt like I had to get up and go do that every day. And I just couldn't sleep enough. And I also found myself drinking and partying and stuff and watching TV, almost for lack of a better way to describe it, like numbing myself out to the whole thing. And so what I eventually came to is I came to the fact that, well, that wasn't what I wanted to do with my life. And so I relieved myself, I guess, of the have to, and I basically ended up quitting my job and starting a business. And so now it feels completely different because it's exactly what Earth was just describing. I don't feel that obligation every day. Like, some days, I'll be honest, some days I don't do anything. I might not do anything on some days if I don't feel like it. Like, you know, I'll actually be gentle with myself, be kind to myself to say, hey, look, you know, we'll work through that and we'll get back to it tomorrow. So for me, it's a very real thing of what you would describe on Earth. Like, I actually, when Wynn was asking you, can you describe how that feels? To me, it felt almost like I was trapped. I was suffocating and I had no choice. So I just continued to go in and go through the motions, but it was very draining, and I had to do things to, like I said, numb myself out from that sensation, you know, the sensation and the feeling of feeling trapped and obligated and feeling that I had no choice. So that's kind of how it felt for me, to answer your question, Wynn.
Man, that's a perfect position to be in, like, to talk about choice. Because, you know, what I got from listening to you and Earth is that really it's not about a reality of having to do something, but it's a perception that we have. It's how we relate to our perceived obligations, right? And really our power lies in our choice and how we actually relate to things and how we perceive things. And if we can actually choose from a power position of not being obligated, but desiring to do something, and we can actually, you know, change the modes of our lives.
Yeah, this is Earth. Yeah, I agree. I mean, when you get for yourself that when you eliminate the have to, so take the have to out of your life altogether and look at what your life looks like. You know, just in one good exercise to do, this just popped in my mind is, you know, if you sit down and you make a list of everything you have to do in a single day or that you plan to do, and then you put before that, so you make two lists. You have two columns. So one, you know, before the word you put, I have to go to work. You know, I have to cook. You know, I have to, you know, pick my son up from football practice or whatever you have to do. And then make that list, and as you make the list, think about how you feel as you're making that list. And see what comes up. And then make another list with the same item and just put, I don't have to. Because you don't. And think about how you feel. Like, I don't have to go to work. You know, I don't have to pick my son up from, you know, football practice. You know, I don't have to cook. And then in the third list, I think I said two lists, two columns, but in the third column, you know, you just write down, like, you know what, I want to go to work. You know, I want to, you know, take my son to practice. Like, I want to cook and see what comes up, you know, for you in the want-to list. And then when you look at that, think about how you feel. And for every item that you feel a certain kind of way about, like, you know, I really don't want to say I want to, those are the items that you feel like you're obligated to do that you really don't want to do. And then you can, you know, you can really start taking, you know, a sense of responsibility and look at how you behave when you're actually executing, you know, whatever that task is, whether it's going to work or, you know, cooking or whatever it is. And then that's when you can go and really start to make different choices, even though, like, that's something that you do. Well, what for you would have you want to go to work? What is it that would have you want to cook? What is it that I have you, you know, want to take your son or your daughter to practice? And what I mean by want to, I mean like what has to be present as it relates to how you feel. Would, like, happiness have to be present? You know, would joy have to be present? Would exhilaration have to be present? And once you recognize what would have to be there if you wanted to do it, or what would even be there if you didn't have to do it, how would you feel? That's even better. If you didn't have to do it, how would you feel? Happy, joy, whatever. And then we have to understand that in that instance, that circumstances are actually dictating how you feel. So that's what's dictating you wanting to do it or not wanting to do it, feeling obligated or not feeling obligated, is the circumstances that actually run the show. And we have to understand that we actually control how we feel. Like Kevin Hart, he can't make me joyful by his jokes. I have to interpret his jokes as being funny and laugh. If I don't interpret him as being funny, he's just talking. So I'm in control of how I feel, not really Kevin Hart. And I'm saying that he's funny or he's not funny. You know, it's me, it's not him, because I'm interpreting it a certain way. And I know I just said a lot, and I really hope everybody on the call was tracking me, on the call tonight was tracking me and understood what I was saying. Not, you know, just press one, and if you have a question about that, I can answer the question, or actually any of the elements can answer it, because I'm pretty sure that they were tracking it, what I was saying.
Yeah, I think that's a great exercise. I mean, talking about what you enjoy doing versus what you're obligated to doing, I mean, that just changes the feeling around circumstance, the feeling around conditions. And it actually,
mm-hmm.
you know, will change your life. It's not the conditions or the circumstances, but it's the perception of those conditions, the perception of those circumstances, and how we relate to it that actually could either empower you or disempower you.
Yeah, you're right. And a lot of times we, you know, especially in our culture, and I used to be this way, and there's still areas of my life where I am, and the moment I recognize that I can do something about it, where I'm totally driven by the circumstance and my interpretation of the circumstance. And I actually make an attempt to see where I'm driven by circumstance, whether it's something that is comfortable, you know, that I feel good about, or that's accepting, and something that's not comfortable, something I really don't accept. So I look at both sides of the coin so that I could have mastery on both sides. And not just have mastery, for example, on the side of things that are uncomfortable or that I consider as unfavorable. And then that to me is a powerful way to live from day to day, because I get up in the morning and not just say, oh, I'm going to be happy, because sometimes we get caught up in, oh, you know, your words, you know, watch what you say. And my philosophy behind that, and which works true for me, is that it goes beyond what you say. It actually goes beyond, you know, I mean, it goes into the realm of your actions and what you truly believe. You know, it's not that, you know, if you say that, oh, I'm not smart, that means you're not going to be smart because of what you're saying. It's whether or not you believe that and the actions you take behind that belief. Because someone can turn around and just start saying, oh, I'm smart. That doesn't mean that they're going to start doing better, because they can still believe that they're not, and their actions can still be in alignment with what they're not saying, which is like, I'm not smart. And they're just saying that, oh, I am smart. So it's more than just your words. It's really, to me, it's what I actually believe in the actions behind what I believe. And they all work in concert with each other, especially the actions and the beliefs. Action can change a belief, and a belief can change an action. So they actually work together, you know, in unison. Because I can say, well, I'm smart, but I can believe that I'm not, but then I can still take an action and study. And then I can do well based upon my action, and then that'll change my belief or my point of view, and vice versa.
Yeah, this is Walter. I agree with what you're saying, man. You know, the whole belief thing, we've had shows where we've talked about psycho-cybernetics and self-image and those things. But that's a huge basis of Think and Grow Rich as well, where he talks about just, you know, whatever the mind can conceive and believe, the mind can achieve. So it really does revolve around that same point of you're really just basically can see it and you believe it, then that's what it'll be. So kind of like what you're saying, and that goes with a lot of things. I mean, if you're the way you see things is that, I don't know, your child is a screw up, then that's all you're going to see. You're going to miss all the things that they do that are, you know, really, really powerful. You're going to miss all that. And the same thing with yourself. you think that, like you were saying, Earth, like, hey, I'm not good at this, then you'll never be good at it because you're actually, you have the underlying belief. You have that limiting belief that I'm just not good at it. Or, you know, I won't be able to learn that language. You know, only children can learn languages. All of that, all of what I said, there's a lot of, the belief nestled right into the language. So, yeah, I really, you know, I agree with what you were saying right there. What do you think about that, Wynn?
Well, the basis of what I intend to accomplish, what I've been intending to accomplish over the last couple of weeks, is moving from the ethereal vantage point of law of attraction to a more fundamental or earthy view of law of attraction. I think that we're getting exactly where we ought to be, because what I see that occurs a lot of times is that we could talk about beliefs, but how does a person actually alter one's belief so that it can alter their behavior, so that they can alter the outcome and what they actually experience in life? And what I was starting with this morning, I mean, at the beginning of the conversation, is about the simplicity of life and, you know, just appreciating the small stuff. And we're right on point with the belief, and we're right on point with choice. But we actually have to get to a point where we actually are grateful and appreciative of the small things. You know, the air that we breathe, the water that we drink, the bodies that we have, modern day plumbing, modern day heating and air, the cars that we have. If we begin to appreciate those things and not necessarily flow with the rat race and strive, then we can actually make an alteration that we can make an alteration in our belief system that things are bad, conditions are bad, the circumstances are bad, because it's really not that bad. And the more you think it's bad, the more bad things will happen. But if you begin to appreciate and express your gratitude for the simple things in life and actually change your consistent feeling, your consistent mind frame, your consistent belief system that there is abundance, that their life is good, then you'll actually see and experience a different life, a better life. And good things will start happening. Things will start happening. Greater things will start happening. And then the next thing you know, you're Bill Gates. You're Warren Buffett. You can't lose. That's the place where I want everybody to be at.
Yeah, you know, as you were speaking, I was just thinking to myself, I mean, why do we consider things as being major and minor? Like you said, appreciating the little things in life, you know, the small things, I don't know how you phrase it. But why do we even consider things as being small? As though it's a universal belief. You know, you bring up a good point about plumbing, you know, having air. You know, we consider that as small because that's something that's in abundance. But someplace where it's not in abundance, then someone would consider it as being major. So then, is it really major or is it small? or is it just what it is? And I know for me, looking at the point of view of things as being just what they are and removing the large or small, and what I get the context you were speaking in, you're just speaking in the language that people can get, you know, large and small. And I just want to add to what you're saying, taking away the word large or small and just say, you know, just in appreciating things in life. Period.
I agree with what you're saying. And, you know, it's funny that I was watching, there's a movie called The Good Lie, and it's about the refugees of Sudan. And in Sudan, you know, clean running water is something huge.
Mm-hmm.
In Sudan, you know, modern-day plumbing is huge. In Sudan, heating and air is huge. Clothing is huge. So the things that we take for granted and that appear small elsewhere is huge.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all about reference point.
Mm-hmm.
But if we all can, you know, just, like you said, appreciate life, appreciate things that we do enjoy, and you know, I think that good things will happen. Good things will begin to happen because it'll change your mind frame about how life really is. Life is not bad. Your circumstances are not bad. Your circumstance is just a circumstance at this particular time. It's temporary. It's not the circumstances you had yesterday. It's not the circumstance that you had tomorrow, that you'll have tomorrow. However, if you believe your circumstance is bad, then you'll continually have bad circumstances because the law of attraction is always working whether or not you accept it or not. It is what it is. But if you change the reference of your thinking, of your believing, if you believe that life is good, then good things will happen. Life will be good to you. That's my premise.
Yeah, I totally agree with what you're saying. And, you know, being happy or being joyful, it's subjective, because when you were speaking, I thought about, you know, when I used to work in Brazil, and, you know, in many instances, I, you know, was under the impression that, oh, you know, things are just, you know, we have it a certain way here in the United States that, you know, other places don't have, you know, which we look at, and I even looked at it as being favorable. But after being taken out of this fishbowl and put in another fishbowl, you know, I really started to see that the things that we consider as being an advantage over, for instance, the world, like the way that we work, like we work hard, where in Brazil they think that's insane, the way that we work, because they work literally from, for example, 8 in the morning until 5 p.m. And really by 3:30 they were out of there. You know, when they went to lunch, it was scheduled as an hour lunch, but it was nothing for people to be gone 1.5, 2 hours. Nobody thought anything about it at all. And they just live life totally different. And their perception of how we live life, which is crazy, totally insane. You know, because the Americans, we were the only people who actually stayed in the office beyond 5 p.m. And really, like I said, about 3, 3:30, people start going home. And by 5 o'clock, there's really nobody left in the building, you know, with over 2,000 employees in the building. And we're sitting there working until 9, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock at night. And that's when my eyes begin to open because I realized, wow, we're working so hard to reach this deadline, whatever deadline we had to have the application done. And the Brazilians had the same deadline, and they got just as much work done as we did. But they didn't work, you know, 14 hours a day, 16 hours a day. They didn't do it at all. When it's time for them to go home, they left and went home. And then I began to see, like, how we may view ourselves as hardworking. And I started thinking to myself, wow, is that really something to really brag about? You know, or is it something to really take a look at and say, wow, we're working all these hours, and here's another group of people that's not working nearly as many hours as we're working, getting the same amount of work done, and they're well rested the next day. You know, and then I began to see it's about perception, and it's about beliefs. Like, one isn't greater than the other because you still got to reach the deadline. So I'm not saying, you know, working less is greater than working more. I'm not saying that one is greater than the other. They both exist. There's a perception about both. And the beauty is, you know, you can choose which one works for you, which one makes you happy. Some people love working long hours. For me, it's a great conversation for me because I work long hours and I don't like it. So really, do I have to work long hours, or can I just say, I'm just going to work 8 hours and that's it, and then see what happens? So I said all that to say that, you know, A, to kind of go back to it's about perception and the way that we see life, and B, to kind of get on this track and really of having the listeners see that it's all about how you create the world around you. Because, for instance, the Brazilians created this way of life where they're going to work hours and still get all the work done. And we created this way of life where we're going to work, you know, 16 hours and get this amount of work done. And neither group is getting more work done than the other. But it's just what we created, all based upon our beliefs and based upon the actions that we took, which gave us the same results, but we went about different methods of accomplishing those results. So I hope that, you know, what I said made sense. But that's just something that I observed, and I just wanted to get back and kind of bring things home around, you know, it's really about, you know, your happiness and how things work in your life. It's really about your belief and the actions you take, which creates your existence, which creates your circumstances, you know, which definitely emphasizes your point of view, or validates your point of view, rather. So what's your elements got?
You there, Water?
Yeah, I am, man. I mean, I'm just kind of soaking up what Earth said. He said a mouthful, so kind of just really, really processing that. What you got, Wynn?
Oh, what's interesting about what Earth said is that I had experience. I actually worked out in California. And when I was working out in California, I experienced something that I never had experienced before. And they actually mandated us to actually take two-hour lunches. And guys would go to massage parlors. They would go to the gym. You know, they play basketball, they play tennis or racquetball, or they work out and they get massages. And have a good, light, lunch and then come back to the office and make shitload of money again. And it was the most interesting environment to work in. You know, the last few weeks, Water and I have been talking about what it is to, you know, make money and do business. And we were talking about how it's different out west versus out east. And out west, it really is a parlance of the book Think and Grow Rich, where people are actually using their brain power, enjoying life, experiencing a quality life, and collaborating with other people and making a hell of a lot of money.
One?
Whereas on the west, on the east coast, you know, people are in a rat race, you know, working hard as hell, working long hours. And if you compare, you know, the wealth of the west coast versus east coast, you know, you guys could do the math.
Yeah, I definitely get that. And I noticed that when I went visiting, you know, the West Coast. It's a totally different mindset around work, completely different. We actually have a caller in the queue. So y'all ready to take this call? So caller with the last four digits, 7157, caller 7157, state your name, where you're calling from, and your question or comment.
Hey, it's Ramona. How you guys doing?
Hey, Ramona.
I'm calling from Atlanta. And I just want to know if we could go back to talking about what we did growing up, because I was enjoying that part. I'm like, why did we grow up? Why did we even grow up? I want to go back and play some jacks and hopscotch and run to the beach and do all that good stuff. Can we still
exactly.
do that?
Exactly. Yes. Yes.
No, but I am enjoying the call. You guys are covering a whole lot in a short period of time. And, you know, you went from, you know, Think and Grow Rich to Law of Attraction to Choice. I mean, there's a lot of things that you are stating there. You know, even in the exercise that Earth gave about, you know, writing that down, I think I will take that on. And, you know, just the last thing that you were discussing, how it's different in the West or the East or in some different countries have different practices. You know, I think there's something to be said about that in terms of, you know, the rat race and the way we grow up and, you know, then all of a sudden we're on the grind. And then, you know, that's what we're training the next generation to do. You know, go to school, do well in school, go to college, get a good education, and then you go right into the rat race. You work the prime years of your life, and then you retire, and you can't do nothing because you need knee surgery, back surgery, or whatever else, and life has passed you by.
Exactly. All you get is an AARP card and get thrown
you get a little discount on groceries when you go to Publix. you know,
and everybody
it's challenging. Oh wow, yeah, that too. Yeah, no money for no social security and all the other good stuff, right? That we're being promised. Yeah, but I mean, it's challenging getting out of the rat race. I actually have Robert Kiyosaki's game, and you guys saying that makes me want to think about playing it, because that game is supposed to actually help you, you know, see how you live and how you could actually get out of the rat race.
Yeah, Cash Flow 101 is a great game.
Yeah. So.
And it's another cash flow tool, too, that actually takes that cash flow 101 to another level to actually get to realize what various investments are out there outside of real estate and and business opportunities. So yeah, I encourage everybody in the audience to read Rich Dad Poor Dad, as well as play Cash Flow 101 and 102, because those are the things that will get you out of the rat race by thinking, you know, about how you can leverage the money that you do have and make it grow. So I appreciate that, Ramona.
You're welcome.
I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead.
No, you're good. You're good. I got the answer to what I was looking for. You know, I was just trying to summarize everything that you guys are putting together and saying, you know, what's next? Because a lot of the things you talk about I've actually done in my life. And, you know, I've had highs and I've had lows. And, you know, there's things in my life that I'd like to take on changing. And I'd like to actually enjoy life more than just, you know, working all the time, hustling. It's not that I don't enjoy it, but there's aspects of it that I'd like to alter. I have always been a firm believer of realizing that the time you have now is the time you have, especially around my kids. They helped me to realize that, because I realized they would only be 1 year old once or 5 year old once. And so I try to take the moments I have with them and just really enjoy that. So they have actually been, you know, the best thing that could have ever happened to me, to have me appreciate, you know, like life in the now. And, you know, I was just trying to ask you guys, like, you know, given all that you've mentioned about choice and all of this kind of stuff, you know, where do you put it together to start altering your life? So that was my question.
Okay. Right, so, and thanks for the question, Ramona. You know, and we all may have, you know, different answers to that question, because there's no one way to do it at all. And, like, what's next? You know, how do you bring all of these methodologies we talked about, how do you bring all that stuff together and really begin to exercise them in your life in a way that's real? And, you know, for me, I'm always going to look back at, not look back, but look at things from a spiritual context, because there's nothing that really happened outside of spirituality. And I don't mean spirituality from the context of, oh, you know, I may go to church every week, or I may, you know, pray every night. It's so much greater than that. And that's really looking at life not as in, you know, the mundane as being on one side, and or modernity being on one side and looking at spirituality on the other side. They both collapse, because in reality, everything is centered around spirituality. Everything is centered around nature. And it's us who don't recognize that, because you can't do anything without nature existing. You can't do anything without spirituality existing. You know, and sometimes we say, "Oh, I just have some intuition." Well, that's a level of spirituality. You know, you just said that you come up with a concept. That's a level of spirituality that exists. So we walk through life separating the two, and we should actually, or just consider walking through life merging the two together, and see what life looks like for you when you do that. And you know, you'll get phenomenal results. Now, how do you do that? Well, the first step is to recognize that, you know, there is something that's spiritual, something that's outside of yourself, and something that's inside of yourself that's driving you, that's pulling you. So that's the first step, to recognize that. And then some people may ask, well, how do I even recognize that? Well, how you recognize that in a real quick, simple way is just asking your friends, ask your family, like, how do they see you? Who are you to them? And then that'll tell you a lot about how spirituality is pulling you, how spirituality is recognized in yourself, and how you may subconsciously recognize yourself from a spiritual perspective. Because that's the thing that's actually driving your action. And I hope I didn't, you know, sound, you know, or say it in a way that that I was speaking over people's heads. I was, when you asked the question, I was actually thinking, like, how can I break this down in a way that's palatable for everybody? And I'm not sure if I broke it down in a way that's palatable to everybody, but in a nutshell, just stop disconnecting modernity or modern life and spirituality, because in reality, they both go hand in hand. It's not one sitting over here and the other sitting over there, and you just flip-flop in between both. They both are the same. We'll go together. But that's just my two cents, and I know we're up against the clock right now, so let's go ahead and hear from the other element.
Yeah, this is Wend, and I would just say that, again, choice and how we relate to things is most crucial. One of the most powerful phrases that I heard was context is decisive. And what that means simply is that your perception, how you see things, how you relate to things, dictate your actions and behaviors and the outcome of how you react to it, to whatever circumstance or condition is. And so what I would say to the audience is that you always have to continually generate yourself. You have to remind yourself that life is perfect, that life is good at every moment. And perfect meaning that not complete or not fabulous at every moment, but life is perfect in the sense that it is what it ought to be right now at this moment, and that it's providing you an opportunity to grow and develop and stretch yourself to overcome and achieve. And the second thing I would say is that define what really matters to you, not what society has pushed on you or attempted to push on you. Enjoy the small things. Enjoy the simple things. And really inquire what really matters to you, and do that. More than anything else, focus on that. And I promise you'll have a rich and great life.
Yeah, and this is Water, and I'd just like to add to what both other elements just said, is I want to echo what Earth was saying, is that it starts internally. And I think that's where you go search for that inner spirit, that soul that's within the actual shell of the body. And then you can actually really get to some of the things that Wend is talking about, because without going things without and outside, I think those don't really matter. Just wanted to add that to what you both said. Wend, you want to go ahead and take us out, my friend?
I would just say that, you know, I appreciate the audience participating with us every week. We really appreciate you guys. Thanks very much, Ramona. Great conversation, guys, and I hope that we've made an impact on you as we intended to, because we're certainly impacting each other and building off of each other. That's what it's really all about. That's our intent. That said, have a great week. Have a powerful week. And change your life.
Peace.